This is the Trinity College Podcast. Good afternoon. This is John Keller, and I'm here with Carly. She is the Director of Financial Aid for Trinity College of Florida, and she is also one of the school certifying officials for our veterans and their dependents. So good afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Keller. It's wonderful to be here with you today.
I got you out of your office, so it's always good.
It is, especially on a beautiful day.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And so I want to start with the beginning, and I know that you are you have your master's degree from University of Alabama.
Roll Tide.
And awesome. And since we don't have football, we can go for that.
That's right.
But you have your master's in international relations. So how is it that you are here at Trinity College? How did you come to Trinity College of Florida?
Okay, well, I started working in financial aid while I was working on my master's degree at the University of Alabama, and really enjoyed it, got hired on there, and I worked there for a couple of years, and then I was very privileged to be promoted to Associate Director of Financial Aid at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, in Birmingham, Alabama, and I worked there for a couple of years as well, loved my time there, but then was just looking for both career-wise, opportunities for advancement, and then for my family, relocation, different business opportunities for my husband, and so that's how we started looking at the Tampa area. And then God just moves in wonderful ways, and I was able to find this job here at Trinity and connect with the team here and have loved my time here so far.
So how long have you been here?
I started in November of 2020, so about a year and a half or so.
Now, if I remember correctly, you were with child when you came here.
Yes, I was. I was very nervous to interview for jobs while pregnant, you know, as a woman being pregnant, I wasn't sure how that job field would go at the different jobs I was interviewing for. But Trinity made me feel very welcome in that situation from the beginning. I disclosed it during my interview, and the hiring authorities at Trinity never missed a beat. They were just excited for me that I was having my first child, excited to be expanding the TCF family. Yes, my daughter was born in January of 2021, so she just turned 1 year old. Her name is Karina, and she is my little doll baby.
That's awesome. She is. I see the pictures on social media all the time. And your husband is a very, very handsome guy, great guy, just an awesome guy.
Thank you.
And we're so glad that you guys are part of the Trinity family. And I think that's one of the unique values of Trinity College is we are just a big family.
Absolutely. I felt it from the first interview was just, like I said, welcome for me and my husband and for our future child. No hesitation at being hired while pregnant. Lots of flexibilities for my maternity leave and spending time with my family. And then just meshed in with everybody so well once I started working here.
That's awesome. We're really glad to have you and be part of the family. We like to watch your kids grow up.
That's right.
You only have one, so I see. Well, you actually have two because you have a fur baby, too.
Oh, my goodness. My dog, Mac, he's actually the exact same age as Karina. I was 8 weeks pregnant with Karina, and when we got Mac, and he was 8 weeks old.
That's funny.
So they're the same age, and he is a German Shepherd, beautiful German Shepherd, and yes, he's technically my first baby.
Yeah, if you come visit Trinity College on a Friday, you may see him out in the field out there running around.
That's right.
So nothing wrong with that. Well, so Trinity College, you know, we're a small Bible college. We've been around for 90 years. And, you know, I always like to make a statement, and you hear me say this all the time. A yes is never a yes without the how. Like, yes, I want to go to college. Yes, I want to get a higher education. I can see the value. I mean, the Department of Labor statistics about is it worth it to go to college? Or overwhelmingly, yes. Mm-hmm. I think the latest one showed that you'll make $900,000 more in your lifetime as a person with a bachelor's degree than not having it.
Yes.
And that's a big chunk of change. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously worth it as far as the time and money. But how? So what can financial aid do to help someone who says, my parents didn't save for me to go to college. I didn't get bright futures. My parents just, you know, they're good people, but they just don't have the means. Mm-hmm. And that person might even be the first person to graduate from college. So how does financial aid help that person?
Absolutely. So we see that a lot. And that's our job in financial aid, is to just come alongside the student and talk through their situation with them and then work out the solution that is best for their family and their situation. So almost all of our students at Trinity, and really nationwide, but all of our students at Trinity have a combination of several different types of financial aid. So we see students combining federal financial aid, student loans, grant money, work study money with state aid, state grants, state scholarships, and then institutional aid, aid that Trinity College can offer to students. And so it's usually not just one way. It's usually a combination of three or four different types of funding from different types of places, sources of the funding, that we kind of hodgepodge together to help the student pay for their education.
That is the how. Mm-hmm. So how am I going to pay for it?
That's right.
Now, I know you are definitely an advocate for being a wise steward of what you have. Mm-hmm. And so do you counsel students on, before they say sign for loans or any kind of aid they have to pay back? Mm-hmm. What's the counseling process look like for that?
Yeah, so there is a federally required counseling process. So if you are going to be borrowing federal student loans, there is a counseling process that all students have to go through before those loans can ever pay out to them. And so some students may see it as a chore, oh, I have to go do this counseling, but it's actually extremely educational. It's going to take students through different scenarios. If you borrow this amount of money and you choose this payment plan, then this is what your payment will look like. It educates students on interest rates and how interest accrues. So that is the federally required entrance counseling that all students have to do. But then on a more personal level, myself and my advisor in financial aid, Corey Moore, were there to talk students through just kind of the intimidation, kind of the scariness of borrowing student loans, and oh, how is this going to affect me? How am I going to pay this back? We're there to talk through a student's concerns, and different students have different concerns based on their family background. So we kind of just make it personal. We just say, so what's concerning you? You know, what, and you know, the students can disclose as much or as little information to us as they feel comfortable doing. So we'll just talk through their unique situation with them and you know, what will be the best course of action for them.
I really appreciate that. It's a good, I guess, summarization of what you guys do. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess it's a good question is, what is step number one? Like, I want to go to school. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Trinity College. Maybe, or some other school. Someone may be listening to this interview, and they have another school in mind. That's mm-hmm. fine. We definitely want to encourage people to go through biblical higher education, mm-hmm. because we know that the difference between a Bible college and a school that doesn't have what we offer is tremendous for lifelong, just making life better all around. Having the, you know, biblical foundation for your marriage and for your family is just it's priceless. But what would be in your mind the very first step a person would take in order to figure out, what do I do? What's my first step?
Usually the first step is always the FAFSA, and I'll echo what you said. Obviously, we want all those listening to come be educated with us at Trinity College of Florida, but this information can be used for any school. Schools use the FAFSA, the Federal Application for Financial Aid, to determine what type of awards a student is eligible for. So the FAFSA is sort of the rubric that all schools use, provided to us by the U.S. Department of Education. And so the FAFSA is usually always the first step. That's going to tell us not only what type of federal aid you're eligible for, the states use it as well, individual states. So here in Florida, obviously, that would determine what type of state Florida aid you're eligible for. And then not all of our institutional funding looks at the FAFSA, but we do have a couple of different awards that use FAFSA data as well for our institutional Trinity College of Florida scholarships and grants. So the FAFSA is sort of the bedrock of all the different types of financial aid.
So you begin there, even if you think, I'm not going to qualify for
yes.
for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so what's the basis for the FAFSA? What does the government look at and say, those John Smith qualifies for this amount of financial mm-hmm. aid? What data are they looking at?
Yeah, that's a good question. So yes, I encourage everyone to do the FAFSA, even if you think, I'm not going to get any grant money, I'm only going to get student loans, or I'm not going to get anything at all. That's still something we encourage everybody to do. So the FAFSA is not contingent on income alone. A lot of people just think, I make too much money, I'll never get anything. But it looks at much more than just income. So it looks at income, it looks at amount of taxes paid, it looks at investments, net worth, business owned, different types of income in those various categories. It also looks at the size of your family and whether or not your family has other students in college. It also takes in allowances for average amounts of medical expenses of an average family might have in 1 year, average amounts of taxes on home and vehicles and things like that. And so it's actually much more complicated than just straight income. And so somebody that thinks they wouldn't be eligible for anything could very well be eligible for grant money, even if they don't expect to be.
And those things change from year to year, right? I mean, those numbers fluctuate based on the whims of the government, correct?
Well, the FAFSA has been the same for several years now. It is a little bit complicated. Luckily for all of us, the feds tend to make it simpler every year.
That's
so
good.
It is. When I was a student, which has, oh my goodness, been 10 years ago now, it was much more complicated even then than it is now. So now it's several pages shorter, lots of fewer data points than it used to have. And Congress actually just recently passed something called the FAFSA Simplification Act. And so going forward,
they did something right.
They did. Can you believe it? This upcoming school year and school years going forward, it's going to get even simpler. So that's nice, too. The data elements they look at right now are basically what I described before. A good thing that they have done, too, is there's a tool on the FAFSA called the IRS Data Retrieval Tool.
That was my next question.
Yeah, and it allows you to link your tax information from the IRS, which would have already been filed from a previous year, directly to the FAFSA. So it autofills all of that financial information for you, which is a huge blessing. You don't have to necessarily have your tax return out there in front of you typing in all those individual numbers, because the IRS data retrieval tool will autofill it for you. So that's a pretty big help. But just a little bit more about funding from the FAFSA. Every student is going to be offered student loans no matter what. You may or may not be offered grant money, which is that type of funding that does not have to be paid back, which is what we all want, of course. But you may or may not be offered that. You will definitely be offered student loans no matter what, but you are not obligated to use those if you don't want to. Any school, not just Trinity, is going just to offer those to you, so they can be accepted or declined as needed. And they're very flexible as well. If you don't need the full amount offered, you can accept just a lower amount. If you don't think you need them at all, but then 3 months into the semester you have an emergency, you can accept them at that time. And so they are very flexible and easy to use if you do need student loans to help you pay for your education.
Well, appreciate that. We look at if you're on the website, if you're on the page, financial aid page, mm-hmm. trinitycollege.edu/, if you're at the financial aid page, which is on every single page of the website, you can find it under admissions. They just need to click on apply for financial aid, right?
That's right. There's a section labeled helpful links, and from that section, there is a link directly to the FAFSA application.
There's also a download for the app.
Yes, there is. That is a way that the feds have made it a little bit easier on us recently. The app was just released the school year before last. So there's an app called My Student Aid that you can do the FAFSA on now. It does tend to be a little bit simpler even than doing it on the computer, but you can jump back and forth between the two as well. So if you start on the app, but then maybe your mom or dad, wants to help you finish it at home, you can save your progress in the app and then reopen it on your computer. So it's pretty easy to use.
So a student that's applying, I guess it depends on the type of student they are. If they're a dependent, which means they're still living on mom and dad's dime, mm-hmm. even if they're 18, they still have to have the parents.
Yes.
So it's based on their parents, their financial support to income, correct?
That is correct. A student would always have to report their parents' information on the FAFSA unless they are 24 or older, are already married, or have children or dependents of their own, are active duty military or veteran, or have some sort of special circumstance that has removed them from their parents' home. So when I say that, I don't mean, I pay my own bills, or, you know, my mom and dad make me pay my own car insurance or something. The point behind that special circumstance is for those who sadly, you know, have an abusive home environment,
right,
or have been legally removed from their home by a court ruling or something like that. So if you fall into those special circumstances, then TCF Financial Aid Office can definitely help you navigate that. But if you don't fall into one of those categories I just mentioned, then chances are a good high likelihood that you will have to provide your parents' information on the FAFSA.
And then if they are not under the parents, they're 24 or older,
mm-hmm.
older than 24, and or they were a veteran or they were married or mm-hmm. they have children of their own, then they just based on their own income.
That's right. It will the FAFSA will auto-skip the parent section, so you won't have to even click through it. The FAFSA will auto-skip it for you, and then it will only be your information. If you're married, your spouse's information.
Now, I noticed when I fill out the FAFSA for my daughter, and who is a student at Trinity College as well, I noticed I had to put a school code in there.
Mm.
And so tell us, what is a school code and why do we need that?
Yes, the school code makes it much easier to get the FAFSA where you want it to go. So on a FAFSA application, you can add up to 10 schools at one time. That way you don't have to keep redoing your FAFSA over and over again for multiple schools that you're interested in. You can just do one application and send it to up to 10 schools. But there are obviously a lot of colleges and universities in the United States of America. And so instead of having to look through a list or type out the name, for example, we're Trinity College of Florida, but there's also a Trinity Baptist College.
Yeah.
There's several different types of colleges that have the word Trinity.
Yeah, who knew a Christian college would use the word Trinity in
I
it?
I know. And so it just helps with that confusion. Trinity School Code of 030282. Will get your FAFSA to us without you having to search through the various Trinity colleges that are out there in the United States.
And I have seen that number on the homepage for the financial aid page.
It
so
is
that's
one of
very
the first
helpful.
Things you would see on the website.
So you fill out the application and you apply for financial aid. And then, like you said, the FAFSA is also helping Trinity College determine whether or not you might get some of our own internal aid, mm-hmm. like the what are the scholarships? One of the scholarships that we have, what's one that we would use?
We have one called the Trinity College Grant, and that is a need-based grant. So it's not going to be looking at high school academic performance. It's solely going to be looking at financial need. And because we have to have a way of determining financial need, we use the FAFSA application for that. That is a great grant that we have here at Trinity that we does not have to be paid back, that we love to award to students. But in order to determine eligibility, we do just have to have that FAFSA on file first.
That's really helpful. I've noticed on the website when I click on all the different fundings and scholarships that are available, there's a lot of stuff on there mm-hmm. that I was never aware of, like the church matching grant.
Yes. Here at Trinity, we are blessed to have so many different types of funding that we can offer to students to help them out. The church matching grant is a wonderful program that we have a lot of students taking advantage of. If a student's home church is willing to provide them with a scholarship to attend our school, even if it's small, $250, or even if it's large, $1,000, then Trinity will match that scholarship up to $1,000 per semester. So a student can double their money right there by participating in that.
So let me hear if I get this right. So if the church matched $1,000 semester, that would be $2,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Trinity College is matching $2,000 a year.
Trinity College matches up to $1,000 per semester.
So that'd be $2,000.
So they could get $2,000 in 1 year. That's right.
So total be $4,000.
That's right.
That's actually mm-hmm. a lot of money.
That's significant, isn't it?
Yeah, that mm-hmm. really solves a lot of that, and that's some of the how.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you know, of course, if a church wants to know why should they do that, well, they have to go back and our students have to do an internship somewhere.
Mm.
And they normally do it at their own churches, especially if they're a minister student. You know, they're going to go in the ministry or something like that. But we do find that they will go back to their own churches and serve, and it's a great way for the church. And most churches actually have, bigger churches definitely have designated funds for this type of thing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware of that until I started digging into it.
It's wonderful to see churches investing in their students.
And, of course, never hurts to ask for more. Mm-hmm. So we do up to 2,000, but who knows? Maybe if someone's doing as a worship leader or doing something amazing work in the church, and the church goes, hey, we support you in this, and we're going to do more, we'll take.
Absolutely. To all the students out there, the worst that you can be told is no. So you might as well ask, for all the different scholarships that are out there and this church matching grant. Don't be afraid to ask. People are generous. People know that college students need help, and so don't be afraid to ask.
Especially when they are all big Dave Ramsey fans. You know, if you're going to have financial peace, then maybe your church, maybe you should offer a scholarship for our students. Well, that's kind of funny, but true.
Yeah.
Now, the next question is, so we've done the application, we've done all that stuff. So how long does it take, typically, once we've done that, to actually know what we qualify for?
That's a good question. We're very proud to have a quick turnaround in the financial aid office. If the FAFSA comes to us valid with no problems that need to be sorted out or any kind of extra processing, we'll usually have just a turnaround of just about 2 days. So we email our students. So if we're able to process that FAFSA and everything's in order, then the student would get an email with their financial aid award offer, usually within 2 days, maybe three. But we have a very quick turnaround with that. Same with if there is something wrong with the FAFSA, we would usually contact the student the same day or within 24 hours to let them know, hey, we received your FAFSA, but we can't process it yet because of X, Y, and Z. Here's what you need to do, and we'll talk you through, if there was a mistake and a correction needs to be made, or if we just need some sort of extra documentation or something, we would also have at least just about a 24-hour turnaround time in letting the student know that.
So if they get that error message, they shouldn't panic.
No, don't panic.
They do panic, though.
They do, but everything is fixable. Even something as intimidating seeming as the FAFSA, no mistake is permanent. So just contact us if we haven't contacted you yet, and just say, oh my goodness, what does this mean? And we'll translate it for you, and we'll tell you exactly what you need to do, and get that sorted out in no time.
Now, I've noticed... Now, do they need to be accepted first before they get that through admissions?
They do. They do. We typically do not process FAFSAs for students that haven't been accepted to Trinity. However, what we do often do is make estimates for people. So if a student hasn't quite finished, all their essays yet, they haven't quite finished the application process to be admitted, but they just want an idea of what type of aid they might receive, then they can call us in the financial aid office and we can... estimate. It won't be official, but we can just say, hey, based on what I see here on your FAFSA and based on what I see from your high school GPA, here's the type of funding that you'll probably receive. So we do that quite often because we know that people want to have that dollar figure nailed down as quickly as possible.
That's one of the advantages of a smaller college.
Absolutely. I could have never done something like that at a University of Alabama, a wonderful institution. Almost 50,000 students. It's not quite the same. So absolutely, I can be much more personal and one-on-one with the students here.
Yeah, that's one of our, I said before, our unique values is that we're a family and we'll know your name. We don't know your student number, but we'll know your name.
Absolutely.
Now, there's a portal. So a student, let's assume a student has completed the application process. They've done the things they needed to do for that. They've been accepted. And that means they have to come here, right? No, they don't. We know that's not true. Many students apply, get accepted, because they want more than one choice.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those choices aren't determined until, late in the game. So, but they've been accepted. They filled out the FAFSA. You're ready. What's going to happen? How are they notified that what they qualify for?
Yeah, so as soon as they're admitted, they are pretty much going to have access to our financial aid portal. We want you to be able to view your financial aid information at any time and not have to keep track of that award letter. So I say award letter, but we send it over email. It does not come to you as a physical letter in the mail. It'll be sent to you in an email. On that email are login instructions for our financial aid portal. So once you get that, which is again usually just about 2 days after we receive the FAFSA, and assuming you're admitted, then you'll be able to log onto the portal. In that portal, you'll be able to see your estimated cost of attendance. If you're going to live on campus, you know, the dorm charge, the meal plan, all of that kind of wrapped up and summarized for you. You'll see your financial aid kind of spelled out there, itemized on a list. That's where you'd be able to accept or decline your student loans. And then, it would all be there summarized at any time. If you or your parents needed to log in before the school year started, you know, halfway into the semester, anytime you might need to log in to just kind of get a reminder on your financial aid, it would be there.
The portal, I think, is a very helpful thing. I would say, being a dad and knowing that you need to keep track of two things, your login information and your password, but if they lost it, they could still contact you and get your, the portal.
That's right, yes. Our luckily we have, so students have their financial aid portal and then they have their portal for the academic side of things. But so the password is going to be the same. That way they don't have to keep track of multiple passwords.
Excellent.
But if they do lose it, then our IT department is standing by to reset it for them. They usually can get it reset within, you know, just an hour or so. Quick turnaround there, but they'll send the student an email with a reset password link.
Excellent.
And, yeah, take care of it from there.
Now, as far as the FAFSA goes, this is like the 11th commandment, thou shalt not lose your password and login credentials for your FAFSA. Mm-hmm. That's something you want to write down and keep someplace safe.
Yes, completely true. And that's really common. So if you've lost yours, don't feel bad. But yes, it's kind of a hassle to reset it. So your login for the FAFSA is linked to your Social Security number because it is Department of Education federal funding. It's you know, semi-serious business, and so your login information is linked to your Social Security number and verified by the Social Security Administration. So if you lose that and have to reset it, it's kind of a long time. You know, federal government stuff takes a long time, as we all know. So it might be a 2 or 3 day turnaround to have that reset, and you don't want to do that, especially if you're in the middle of, you know, trying to submit your FAFSA. So yeah, if you create that, and just as a side note, both student and parent have to have their own unique username and password. Definitely write those down so that you can have them for the FAFSA itself. If the student accepts the loans, then they have to complete that entrance counseling that I mentioned before. If additional loans are needed, you log on to the same website. If you're 2 years into school and you want to log in and see the running total of all the financial aid you received, there's a dashboard that you can log into to see all of that helpful information. So all of that, studentaid.gov uses the same username and password. So yes, it's very important to write that down.
Now, that's really good information. So much stress is caused by that right there. I know that from being a person who had to use it myself. It's usually like you're supposed to get it done yesterday and then you forgot your password and then
yes.
you're like freaking out.
And then you
out.
Have to wait 2 more days to get it reset. Yeah.
I'm not going to school. I've seen that. But they've all, we still let you go to school.
Yes.
The next thing is, so you're doing your first year of school, you start in the fall and you go do, so you're done. You never have to do the FAFSA again, right?
Oh, if only.
Okay.
If only that was true. Yes, the FAFSA does have to be redone every school year. Every year around October the 1st is when the FAFSA for the new school year opens.
For the next school year.
For the next school year, that's right. So high school seniors who are seniors right now, the FAFSA opened for you on October 1st of 2021. For the upcoming 22-23 school year. I know that's a lot of 20s. In October of 22, this coming October, it will open up for the 23-24 school year.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it opens every October for the upcoming school year. It's a really good idea to get it done as soon as possible. One, because it's just one less thing you have to worry about. You're doing it almost a year in advance of your next school year, and so you can just do it and forget about it. And then, two, a lot of schools, Trinity College included, have funds that are limited. So not all of our funding is just able to be awarded, you know, and until the end of time. Unfortunately, it is limited. And so a lot of schools will give aid on a first-come, first-served basis. Not all aid, but certain types of aid. And so schools will prioritize those who did their FAFSAs early, usually in the October to December window.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. I have one more question. This is like a good question. So when I go on a school's website, and I do this all the time because you know what I do in my job, I'm always looking at what schools cost, and what their advertised cost is not the same as actually the cost of attendance. Mm. Now, what does that mean? Why is that so confusing? Like, I feel like they're pulling something over on me, but they're really not. So what does that mean?
That is a really good question, and you're right. Absolutely, we are not. So the cost of attendance that you see advertised on a school's website includes things that you don't actually end up paying for. So by law, we in the financial aid office are required to include things in financial aid like miscellaneous, personal expenses, transportation. And none of that is anything that you're actually billed for. We build things into the cost of attendance so that funding can be there if needed. So let's say we have an out-of-state student who has to fly home two or three times a year. So we have a transportation component built into the cost of attendance so that they can take out financial aid to cover the cost of that transportation if they need it. So that's just an example. You are not billed B-I-L-L-E-D
right.
for transportation, but we build it, B-U-I-L-D, into the cost of attendance so that the funding is there if you need it.
So it's not like you can say, okay, I just want a certain amount of money.
Right.
You have to justify.
That's right.
In the financial aid mm-hmm. and the award that they get.
That's right.
With the cost of attendance is really mm-hmm. covering things they probably have anyway, like transportation.
Room and board. Even if you're living off campus, we build in room and board into your cost of attendance. So again, you're not being billed for room and board, but there is just a room and board component in your cost of attendance in case you need to take out funding to pay for your housing expenses while you're a student. So yes, that's a very good question, and that is why you see that discrepancy between, oh, there's a $30,000 cost of attendance, but it really only costs $20,000 per year. And that's because we build in those extra things so that students can get money for those extra things if they need it.
Yeah, like I look at the cost for dorms and meals, I'm like, I want to sign up for that. I pay
yeah,
way more than that
really
for
nice.
My housing,
yeah.
my food right now. So it's a pretty good deal, actually. Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate that. That's something that comes up. And if people have questions on this, they can obviously contact you at carly.dooley@trinitycollege.edu. Mm-hmm. Just click on the website. Another way is finaid@trinitycollege.edu, finaid@trinitycollege.edu. You can send a question. Just put in the subject line question, and then you guys will respond to it.
Same day.
Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate that. You know, if you had some advice or anything I didn't ask you that you would have for anyone who's applying for financial aid, says, I can't go to college because I don't have the money, what do you say to that person?
I would say there's almost always a way. So don't get discouraged. Get in contact with your financial aid office, whether it's Trinity College of Florida, and we hope that it is, whether it's me that you're calling or whether it's the financial aid office at another school. We're here to help you. And we know a lot about the different types of funding that are available that you may not know, even if you've done your research. So please just don't get discouraged. Keep in touch with your financial aid office. Ask about additional aid opportunities. And then just apply. On our website, we have a section for external scholarships where we have on there external scholarship engines that are legitimate. I know it's sometimes you might think, oh, that, you know, that's a scam website or something. So we've put these on our website. They're not unique to Trinity College of Florida. They can be used at any school.
At the bottom of the page, in the financial aid page.
Yeah, under the heading external scholarships. They're just search engines for scholarships that are out there and available. And you could apply for as many as you want to. You may apply for 50 and you may only get 5. But hey, that's probably couple extra $1,000.
The squeaky wheel does get the grease when it comes to
right.
that stuff.
And so,
yeah, I've noticed that.
So yeah, just apply and just be vigilant. There is some responsibility on the student to do those applications and to do a little bit of research and to take the time to do those different types of research. But there's responsibility on us as well to help you do that, and that's what we're here for.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. We love the financial aid department. You guys are popular on campus. Students love you. They love your Carly's cupcakes.
Oh, yes. I love to bake.
Yeah, it's like it's a problem for me. But you come here on a Tuesday, and that's a good day to come for your financial aid appointment because there's usually cupcakes in your office that are completely over the top. And now I do want to mention that you are also the certifying official, but we'll do that next time with Corey. Mm-hmm. But you guys are the certifying officials for our veterans and their dependents. And
that's right. We love our veterans here at TCF. And yes, myself and Corey are both trained to take care of you all.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you. Have a blessed day. And thanks for tuning in.